Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. The Junks will be joined by Evan Washburn, CBS Sports reporter and host. He was in Pittsburgh for the NCAA tournament this past weekend. He's been on the show many, many times. Looking forward to talking to him at 8:20. So that's coming up. So we wanted to get into this Washington Post article. The headline, Hail Mary paired arena with Tyson's Casino. Youngkin and Leonsis say no. With Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin's plan to build a $2 billion arena in Alexandria for the Capitals and Wizards in jeopardy, three political and business figures have been pitching an unlikely Hail Mary, an idea to pair the sports arena with a new casino in Fairfax County. Instead of building the arena in Potomac Yard with taxpayer-backed bonds, their plan calls for putting it in the Tyson's area alongside the casino, with tax revenue generated by gambling used to guarantee the arena bonds.
They keep throwing out Tyson's. Is there really area in Tyson's for a casino, a new arena?
I don't know where they would.
Where the hell is all this going to go?
I don't know where it would,
I go to Tyson. What I envision, what I know of Tyson's, pretty freaking crowded.
Yeah,
and
but
there's like retail everywhere.
Seemingly relatively small. Like it's just like a stretch on Route 7. Like it doesn't seem like
right,
it's that
by the
big.
Way, is Tyson's residential at all? Or is it all, I feel like all retail. Like when I think of Tyson's, I think of retail.
There's lots of condos. Tons of condos.
And some townhomes.
Yeah.
Right, but no single family homes? Like if you.
You know what I mean? It's not far off.
Yeah.
See, Tyson's isn't that far from McLean and
now
Vienna.
McLean is more of a normal.
So you're not that far. I mean, you're 100 yards from those towns. So you're talking about a lot of families that live in those areas.
Yeah, like in Tyson's, it's a lot of condos, apartments.
When we left the movie last week, drove 2 minutes out of Tyson's and boom, you're in McLean.
Right. It's basically the same town.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the people in Tyson's, they don't want the casino because they are worried about safety. That's exactly why they're worried about
Just because you got people coming from all over and then.
Yeah, I mean, there's crime at casinos all the time. People getting robbed. You know, I mean, that is the main concern for most of the people that are against the casino in that area. Mm. Well, yes, there is tax revenue, but people overlook that and they are more worried about the safety of their families than they are about the tax revenue.
Well, they say that if it was put in Tyson's, according to this article, it would save everyone $500 a year in property taxes.
Versus if they put it on.
Tyson's, I think, has been designated as the most lucrative spot in Virginia, if not like almost anywhere in the country. And they would see over $1 billion a year in table game revenue.
Right. A casino will eventually be put up in Northern Virginia, whether it's Tyson's or like
I didn't know that. That's
Springfield.
They've been pitching that for a while.
I'm just talking big picture. Like for many years in Maryland, the elected officials saw Maryland residents driving to other locales to gamble. Their money's leaving the state to go to Delaware, Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. And then they eventually wised up and said, oh, we're going to build casinos here. We're going to keep that money in-house instead of letting it leave the state. And I'm guessing eventually that same thing is going to, that same realization is going to happen in Virginia, where they're like, people are driving right across to MGM National Harbor in Maryland, Virginia residents. Let's keep them here. Like at some
now, remember,
point,
yeah, but some people don't, they don't care about that. They care about, would you buy a house near a casino?
Maybe.
You would?
I'm a maybe. Okay.
He wants to live near one, put it that way. There's got to be one within 20 to 30 minutes.
To me, the crime and all, like, that's overblown. Like, it's sensationalized.
I don't know if it's overblown.
I'd be a strong maybe for living near a casino.
You would?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be a strong maybe.
I would probably rather live next to a casino than a stadium. I don't want to live next to a stadium
I wouldn't want to really live next to either.
Right.
But I'm just telling you what people, residents and Tysons, that's what they're worried about. For the main, the number one reason they don't want that casino is they worry about the safety. They worry about, you know, families getting robbed by people who are, you know, gambling addicts.
Yeah, but I agree with Cakes. I think that's probably overblown a little bit. I tend to be Team Cakes.
I don't know. I don't know what the crime rate at casinos are, but that's why they're worried.
Well, I just don't think saving $500 is that big of a savings.
Doesn't sound like it.
Even like for an average family in Northern Virginia, are they really going to be get worked up over saving $500 in what, taxes or something?
So, also in the article, that
just donate a little more underwear. You know.
So apparently the idea has been rejected by Youngkin and the team's owner, Monumental Sports and Entertainment, who still hope that their original plan to build the arena in Potomac Yard will overcome setbacks in the General Assembly. And a quote from Monica Dixon, who we've had on this show, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, Monumental's president of external affairs, she said, "At no time have we ever or would we ever consider operating alongside a casino, period. Our proposal in Alexandria at Potomac Yard provides our fans, players, employees, and the people of this region the best opportunity for winning teams and a great economic impact. While we're disappointed in how this has played out, we hope our proposal will get a fair hearing."
Hmm. So the Attorney General came out and said that they can't leave until 2047?
Yeah, I think that news came out Friday.
Yeah, but is that still in dispute? Because I know I don't understand the difference. He says there's some sort of buyout or something in 27, right? I think that's the year.
I believe it was 27.
In 27, yes. The Attorney General ever says, no, you're locked in until whatever it is.
2047.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's longer than the lease we signed here at this building. Yeah, I thought was then the longest lease signed of all time.
We'll all be dead. Ted's going to be dead. We're all going to be dead by then.
2047. Yeah. I just want to make it to 2047. Right. How old will I be? Hold on. That's
like 70-something.
That's 23 more years from now.
Yeah, you'd be.
No, I'll be 77.
Yeah, you'd be 77, right?
I'll be TJ Oshie years old at that point.
Right.
I'll barely remember who the Caps are at 77.
Yeah. 2047. Now, like you said, I'm sure it's in dispute, but, you know, it's all political. And I don't get it. But what was Ted, did he respond to the Attorney General who said you can't leave until 2047?
Yes.
And what did
he say? Monumental said that they can, that they said that there was in 2019, there was they ratified it, the lease, saying that they can leave.
Okay.
In 2027.
So, I mean, this is probably going to have to be adjudicated, right? Can't just be Ted's opinion versus their opinion. Like, a judge or somebody is going to have to rule on this, probably. I don't know how that works. But Ted can't just say, no, my lawyers read it that we're out.
Yeah, we're leaving.
And their lawyers
Stop
read
me
it
if
that
you, can.
You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt Ted just made it up. My guess is I would side with Ted.
And I'm assuming that Monumental's opposition to operating near or alongside a casino is they just view that as competition, right? Like, anybody that walks into the casino, less likely to walk through their doors, I'm assuming. I don't know. I'm just assuming that.
I mean, it seems like a weird take to have to be so adamantly against casinos.
Like, they have sports books inside Capital One. Like,
why don't they just open their own casino?
I don't quite get it.
I don't know. Tyson's, I think,
there's
is a better
so many
spot.
Questions.
Is Tyson's a better spot than Alexandria? Not for people who live in the district, probably not.
I think it's more, isn't it more central? Like, Tyson's is closer in than Alexandria.
Well, I'd assume that the access, if assuming they figure out all that stuff over there at Georgetown Pike, whatever's going on there, you know, in our lifetime, I would assume the access coming and going would be a little bit better there in Tyson's, even though it's already a cluster. That would be my assumption.
Tyson's, I've never not had a traffic issue driving in Tyson's.
Well, you gotta go at odd hours. Yeah.
And I don't think it'll ever change.
I'm sure. And adding a casino/arena
yeah.
would
I don't know where they would put that.
It would paralyze the traffic there. I mean, it would be gridlock all the time.
Right.
I would assume. Certainly on game nights.
Is this ever going to happen? Is this ever going to happen?
Yes.
It will. 100%.
Yeah.
They're going to move to Potomac Yard.
Oh, I don't know that.
I don't know if that.
They're just
going to
move
there,
out of D.C.
But I think Ted is hell-bent on moving out of D.C. at some point.
I know. But
I thought I read something that there was a Maryland.
There was definitely a Maryland meeting.
A dalliance.
Yes. That like was that, reported, too, by.
Recently.
Yes. By a publication I'd never heard of. I believe the Baltimore Banner. I think had that news.
Southeast. Those are your people.
It's not the Baltimore Sun.
You're
the official Baltimore
spokesperson. Baltimore Banner? What is that? Just some hillbilly with a blog?
I've never heard of it.
Okay.
I mean, is that a free paper you get when you're walking down Pratt Street?
It could be a city paper.
I mean, I don't know.
Hey, Ted has this big thing about Richmond to like Delaware being this one.
Right. Big super city.
Yeah, big super city, yeah. Super area. I really think he could move both the teams closer to Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah. If Virginia's given all this pushback and he's getting the land and a good enough deal from Maryland and maybe somewhere closer
in
Anne Arundel
County,
I'd put it in Columbia.
Yeah,
I'd be
like Columbia.
The traffic there sucks too.
Or somewhere in Anne Arundel County.
Oh, if I could just get on the ICC and hop on 29 and go see the apps and
I mean, Ted really pushes this super city thing, yeah. And he really believes in it. So it wouldn't shock me if all of a sudden he hates dealing with
DC. Super city is Baltimore and DC.
No, in Ted's like mind, it's Richmond all the way to Dover,
like halfway up and down the East Coast, basically.
Right.
You know what? He's a smart businessman. He's going to keep those options open.
If Ted, okay, I could see Ted
grief now for moving 3 miles away. You know how much grief he's going to get if he moves the team to friggin' Anne Arundel County.
He's fine.
If he moves the team to Crofton,
he'll get over it.
I bet you could get even more land.
They used to get all the land. They used to skate over Piney Orchard.
I don't think it's as far off. And I think Ted will come to the realization that it will be in play, and that no matter where he moves it, people are going to be mad.
That part is true.
That's
wherever
true.
He moves, and it, people will be upset.
I think Ted would put his money where his mouth is and start back in the super city. And he'll because he's Caps, already talked about it.
The Columbia Caps. Oh, it's got a good ring to it. You don't have to. You can't switch them from Washington, but if they played in Columbia, that's right in my wheelhouse, Valdez.
I don't think it's that outside the box. Because I feel like a lot of his options.
I don't think it's that crazy.
A lot of his options. He's finding out a lot of these options and a lot of the people that he's dealing with.
If everything falls through, if everything sucks in Virginia and you're just running into roadblocks all the time, of course you're going to flirt with Maryland. You have to. A big chunk of his fan base.
I know. And then I think he wants a lot of land. And where can you get a lot of land? It's closer, I think, closer to Baltimore.
I just feel like he's going to have the same political roadblocks in the state of Maryland that he's having now in Virginia.
Oh, you're going to have those.
He's going to have political roadblocks.
Well, he's going to have them anywhere. He's going to have them in D.C. if he stays, he's gonna have them in Virginia or Maryland.
I'm just saying, since he's attached to Youngkin, he's going to have those political roadblocks,
right,
especially in Maryland.
So is he basically waiting for a Dem to get in charge because then he thinks it'll get approved? Basically what he's hoping for? Just ride it out?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's what he's waiting for, but
that's a fallback option?
It seems like that would help.
And is that what's likely to happen? Because what? Governors in Virginia get one term, right? So who's the leading candidate for
Democrats?
Yeah.
No idea.
You have no idea.
No.
All right.
They don't have, like, are they already?
I don't pay attention.
How long? Right. How long do they run? He's still got, what, 3 or 4 more years,
I have
though,
no
right?
idea.
What do they get, 6-year terms? I think Govs get 6-year terms, right?
6 years? Maybe. I don't
did
know
I make that
six.
Up?
I
think
know.
I made that up.
You know what? I don't know, so I can't dispute it.
Okay. I can't hey, Draft, tell do you. They get 6-year terms or 4-year terms?
In not well, in Maryland, they get 4. I don't all know right, about Virginia. Sure. I can't speak to them.
Why do I think 6-year? Who gets 6 years?
I think it's a 4.
Like yeah. senators
thought,
get 6 years?
I thought he just got elected.
He just got elected.
He got elected in 22, right?
Right. So if it's 4, he doesn't have that much more time.
No, it's just, yeah, it's not 6. I think it's 4.
Okay.
All right, when we come back, we will pivot and talk some NCAA tournament. We'll be joined by our pal Evan Washburn from CBS Sports. He'll join us next here on The Fan. Time to head.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Out to the BetQL guest hotline. Now's a good time of the year to download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. You can get 3 free days of BetQL access when you download that app. We're joined by Evan Washburn from CBS Sports, reporter and host. He was in Pittsburgh for the NCAA tournament, first and second rounds. What's up, Evan? How are you?
I'm doing all right, fellas. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you, man. So you bore witness to the upset Oakland, number 14 seed, over the number 3 seed, Kentucky Wildcats. Second first-round loss in the last 3 NCAA tournaments for Kentucky. It's been nearly a decade since their last Final Four appearance. The heat is coming down on John Calipari. What was that like being up close and personal with that, and what do you think the fallout is for Calipari?
It was wild, man. This was tournament number 9 for me, and I've seen a couple cool things, like a Jordan Poole basic half-quarter to beat Houston in round 2 a while back, and this was the best because it was the stage, the team in Kentucky, their fan base, the atmosphere, and then a team in Oakland who were like out of a sports movie with their coach and him being the longest tenured guy. He has a wild run, and then obviously Golkey catches fire from 3. So it was unbelievable. It was kind of everything you want from a March Madness experience. And then yeah, there's the Calipari layer to this, and everybody kind of coming down on him and just how he handles things, talking to him in the locker room post game. So it's kind of why you do this type of experience.
Yeah, Evan, what do you think? Like, how do you think it plays out? One, I mean, is he going to adapt at all? It doesn't seem like the way he puts together dream teams for 1 year is really a formula that works in March anymore, right? I don't know. Is he willing to
push back on that? I mean, the transfer portal is a 1-year deal, so he can do it. He did it the year before in some ways. He had his oldest team the season prior because he went to the transfer portal and that didn't work out. So I wouldn't say that Calipari isn't adaptable. And I think basically he started the adaptation of one and done, and then everyone followed. Now he may have to embrace this new version. I think it's probably deeper than that. It comes down to How do you build chemistry? Culture is a buzzword. How do you do it in a what ends up being a very transient situation in college basketball? And I think that's the challenge that he's going to have to face, the decision he's going to have to make, and that's really what coaches across the sport are having to figure out.
And the Jack Golke thing is just crazy.
It was unreal.
Wasn't it? And, I mean, and you know what? Kentucky statistically did struggle against guarding the three during the regular season. They weren't very good at it. But, you know, to be fair, Golke was just in one of those zones. I mean, he had guys in his face. He hit a bank shot three from 25 feet. But the fact that he was able to do that was just crazy to watch. And then all of a sudden he's getting NIL deals after the fact because he was kind of the talk of the tournament for that night. It's kind of crazy.
He was the face of week one of the tournament. It was so fun to see it, to get to know the kid a little bit. I mean, kid, he's 24. He's not that much younger than I am.
Right.
And that, again, that's what makes March great. The thing that I would say that was interesting. Now, granted, I think he was a little tired on Saturday because of what he had to expend in the Kentucky game and then what his life was like for the next 48 hours. Look, he had six threes. He still had an impact in the game. But what you saw with how NC State defended him kind of goes to our previous conversation. You had Morsell, who was a little-known guard but a grad senior, a transfer on NC State, basically match up with him all game and did an unbelievable job, made everything difficult. So that's a fifth-year senior guarding Golke, as opposed to much of the Kentucky game where he was exposing Reed Shepard and some young guys that, again, incredibly talented, good defenders, but didn't know how to guard a guy that can shoot the ball like he could.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, by the way, too, Evan. I'm sure you've seen it. The Golke shot chart for the 23-24 season.
I saw it at dinner on Saturday night on the internet and texted it to our producer at the table and was like, we have to figure out a way, or he basically was, we have to figure out a way to make this work for our game broadcast, which we did. And it's visually incredible.
Yeah, I mean, 347 3-point attempts, 8 2-point attempts.
Right. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Stunning.
Well, I don't know if you guys caught it. I mentioned it on the broadcast, and we did a couple times. He doesn't shoot layups and layup lines. he doesn't do layups.
So crazy.
I mean, I'm sure he has at times, but as
crazy.
We watched him during pregame, he pulls up for three when everybody else takes a layup and warm up.
I mean, if there was a 2-on-1, and you know, he's one of the guys for Oakland, is he going to stop and just pull up, or is he going to the hoop?
It's a great question.
You know,
I don't
mean?
Know if we were presented with it. I would lean towards he would pull up.
He would probably just stop, right? I mean, based on the
absolutely.
Stats. I mean, he was 6-for-17 in the NC State loss, and all 17 were threes. I mean, that's just crazy. All right, so let's just talk about NC State now. Unbelievable run in the ACC tournament. You know, they obviously weren't getting in the tournament without winning that. They win 5 games in 5 days. Then they just kind of get hot. You know, this happens. We've seen it before. It happens pretty much every year with the team. DJ Horn at guard, really good player. DJ Burns down low, tough to guard because he's just so big and a lot of teams double and triple him. And then he just kicks it out. So if NC State's shooting the ball pretty well, you know, they could be very difficult. So just kind of give us your take on NC State. And now they're playing, now it gets real, right? Because they're going to play Marquette. And Marquette can get up and down the floor with an unbelievable point guard. So it'll be interesting to see how they play him. But just talk about the DJs and how they played in the first couple games.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we hadn't had Oakland, they would have been the story, at least from our site. Because to win 5 in 5 days and then to come in and win 2 in 3 days and just be the more energized team, to be better in second half is incredible. And what Kevin Keats has done and his staff, and credit the players too, is they've captured something and they feel connected. This is a group, again, how we started this thing, that was completely a roster turned over. And so it was a lot of folks trying to figure themselves out throughout the season. And then they figured it out at the perfect time. I think it all starts with DJ Burns. He's just such a matchup nightmare because of, yes, his size, but his ability. Most big men can't see the floor the way he does. He's a better passer, I would say, than he is a finisher, and he's incredible as a finisher. He has footwork like Elijah won. He makes some baskets that you have no business making. I mean, it's like that nightmare guy at the Y who can just kind of hook over his shoulder. So how you guard him is basically going to be the entire focus of this game. And I think while Oakland had the magical run and Gaulke, I mean, NC State still has dudes. I mean, they're still an ACC team that's now playing with confidence, and they have a difference maker player in Burns. So I think they're, while I would agree, Marquette's going to be a much more challenging game than they've maybe faced this past week. I think what they did at the ACC tournament gives them a blueprint of how they could deal with Marquette.
And Burns, he's played a lot of college basketball, but he didn't start out at NC State. Did he come from Winthrop? He came from a smaller school.
He was, he was a big time recruit. He was the number three recruit in South Carolina when Zion was one, and then he went to Tennessee, redshirted. That didn't work out. And then, yeah, he went to Winthrop. They had actually been the team that offered him a scholarship in eighth grade when he was playing football. He was telling me he played football up and through eighth grade. Uh-huh. The second he got that scholarship offer to Winthrop, which he didn't end up using until he transferred, he made the focus basketball. He's a great guy, good personality, kind of. I mean, obviously everybody's in love with his game because it's visually a bit different than most. But he'll be a character here in the second week for sure.
All right, so you're going to Detroit, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you got two good ones. You got Purdue and the Zags, 7:39 tip on Friday. And then you've got Creighton and Tennessee. That's the one game that I really want to see out of all the matchups. If I could rank them, Creighton, Tennessee, to me, is really the one I want to see. Now, it's on a little late for me, Evan, 10-10.
Yeah, me too, man. This has not meshed well with my current lifestyle. I mean, we didn't get done Thursday done on the air until a little before midnight, and then Saturday because of that double OT game. And we literally got off the air. I was doing the interview with Creighton dudes, Shireman and Ashworth, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna enjoy this tonight." And I'm like, "Nah, man, it's this morning. You're enjoying it."
Right. Exactly. All right. But start with Gonzaga, Purdue. It seems like Purdue kind of just has this different mindset than they have the last couple years because, you know, obviously they lost to St. Peter's and then they lost to FDU, the 16. But their guards, I think, and I've kind of been saying this for a few weeks, their guards, I think, are just more mature and they're playing better in big spots. But Gonzaga goes to the Sweet 16 every single year and they got bigs. So maybe they can handle Edie a little differently than some of these other teams. But I don't know. I like Purdue in the game, but this is going to be a very good matchup.
So this is funny, and I'll do it with you guys. I've done it a couple of times, but your breakdown there is better than I could do right now. I have no idea about these two teams or Tennessee because I was obviously in Pittsburgh,
right?
And then you get home Sunday. You know, I don't watch any of the other games, really. I mean, they're on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Our off days, you either sleep, you prep, or you go meet with the teams that are still advancing. So it's like you do your own tournament in your sight, and then you spend the next week getting – and hopefully, which we do get, we got Creighton to join us in Detroit. So that'll help. But I always feel like – and we all have to do this. You guys, I'm sure, do it too – where I would just basically say what you just say and then make sure I say Zach Edey a few times if I was to break down this game. And then I'd say Dalton connects for Tennessee and just how he's a difference maker and he's dynamic and he's going to be a challenging cover. So because I respect you guys, I feel like I'm just going to be honest and say that I can't really break down the two games yet.
Yeah,
if you want to talk on Wednesday, I might be in a better spot.
But Evan's going to be tough. I mean, it's tough to break down Purdue and Gonzaga because neither one's really been tested. I mean, they've just been blowing out their first two opponents. So it's hard to kind of get a read on what it's going to look like when they're matched up together, in my opinion.
No, I think that's fair. And I think that the stress – well, I think Purdue's living with it based off of previous results, and I think the Final Four is the real hurdle that has to be cleared. But I think some of that stress is relieved a little bit, and now it becomes more of a tournament of like, okay, this is what we're used to. Those first couple rounds, I mean, even talking to Creighton about it, I mean, based off of where their program is now and where they were a year ago, a possession away from the Elite Eight, depending on how you look at that call, in the San Diego State game, all they were thinking about is getting back to that spot. And to do it, you're going to have to go through these stressful games against teams that you should beat in a really odd environment.
All right, so you mentioned Kinect, and I'm sure you'll probably talk to him during the week, but it's just another crazy story with him too, because he wasn't highly recruited. He played point guard in high school, all right? So that's why he's got such a good handle. And then he grew, and then he goes to Northern Colorado. No one wanted to give him a scholarship. He goes to Northern Colorado, his home state, and he was good there. But then I don't know how Barnes found him at Tennessee, but, man, he's just a baller, and now he could be a top five pick. And he is a difference maker, like you said. He's athletically, he's really good. He can shoot it with guys in his face. He plays above the rim sometimes. I mean, he's really fun to watch.
It's so cool. The game's changed in terms of how you get from point A to point B. Now, you're still going to have the A-listers out of high school. But, I mean, even watching Oakland play, and they've got the kid Trey Townsend, who's their best player. As much as Golkey became the star, Trey Townsend's – he's going to go somewhere most likely next year and make a whole lot of money.
Right.
So Dalton would fall into that category. There's this new layer to the team building process, the recruiting process. I mean, if you're a young kid right now, whether you're in middle school or high school and you have dreams of playing at a big time school, your dream doesn't end if it doesn't happen when you're a senior in high school or even a junior when you start to realize, oh man, I'm not getting looks. It's if you have the mentality necessary, you can go. Kind of build it out for year one and two. Now, what's going to be interesting is now we lose the COVID year.
Right.
And I think that gave such a buffer for kids before it was, all right, you get a redshirt year and then it's four. You got to figure it out. The COVID year gave everyone this added year. So, I mean, you could really figure it out and then still have 2 or 3 years left once it clicks for you physically or in terms of your game. So that will go out the window here, I think, after this year.
Evan, try to catch your breath, pack your bags, and head to Detroit. We'll look forward to seeing you on TV this weekend.
Well, we'll be watching you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, all right, take care.
Too. That's Evan Washburn, CBS Sports reporter and host. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Evan Washburn. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get into EB's entertainment page on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Potential good news for the fellow Baldies out there.
Really?
This from the New York Post. I mean, I think it's kind of a goof, but the headline is, hyper-realistic toupees are the hottest new flex, with some spending hair-raising dough to look their best.
There's no chance you would wear even the most hype. It could be the most hyper-realistic. It could be attached to your head for like a year at a time.
Here's how I would do it.
You wouldn't do it.
If I was financially incentivized.
If somebody said, endorsement deal.
We got a client that's doing toupees. I don't know who that client would be.
Yeah.
Here's 10 grand to wear a toupee for a year. Sign me up. Of course I would
do
it.
You would wear a toupee?
For a year?
And you can't wear a beanie.
For a year?
Yeah, I mean, you can't wear a beanie.
I can't wear a beanie for a whole
year?
You
have to flex the toupee. In other words, you can't hide the toupee.
I think for a year, if the money was right, I would do it.
All right, Trav.
For 1 year.
We got to find a toupee company.
Let's get him.
We got to find a toupee company. There's got to be one. I know Michelle and all these.
Let me just say this. The
Courtney,
starting point price
is $10,000.
All
right, that's fine.
That's the launching pad.
That's fine.
I don't think that's the ball rolling down the road.
I don't think that that's out of the realm.
I mean, to wear it for a year?
You got to wear a effing toupee, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think Eric's plugged in. I don't think he realizes the technology and the changes that have gone on with toupees in the last, like, 10 years.
I'm not either.
I'm saying
but,
even
I mean,
if it's the most right, realistic.
I want you to go type in toupee queen on Instagram. All right, this chick's got, like, 300,000 followers. I don't follow her, but it's always in my feed, and I'm always intrigued by it. These guys come in looking like just beaten down bums. Just life has gotten the best of them.
Toupee right. Queen they, on Instagram?
Yeah.
And they go out woman? Looking like models?
They go out looking like sex symbols all the time. Because
well, cakes? You
yeah,
can do it.
That's fine.
And dumb guys like Valdez always say, why are you guys so hung up on your hair? Why do you guys care about going? He doesn't realize the trauma,
right,
what it takes away from.
He's got a full head of hair.
Yeah.
Like, so he doesn't understand the plight.
Now listen. I understand. I think I can understand the plate. I would be distraught. I don't even like having gray hair. The reason why what people say, why do you wear a hat all the time? I don't like looking at my gray hair. But if I was bald, I don't know. I'd much rather
be gray than bald.
Much rather gray than bald,
of course.
Personally.
Of course
but,
you would be.
But believe me, I don't love being gray.
Also, bald people love to tell you that they think your hair is thinning. They love to do that.
Oh, they want you
to
join.
They want you to join.
That may be the case, but I don't think I've ever told you once.
No,
that
Drab does it all the time.
He wants me to join him.
You got spots on your forehead. I'm seeing.
he always talks crap to me about being bald.
Okay, yeah.
And someone pointed out that his hair is thinning, and he goes, "Am I?" And I looked at it, and I said, "Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, you're gray and balding, Valdez."
Let me see, Valdez.
It's thinning up top.
Well, he's got a little bit of whatever. Widow's peak or whatever.
No, it's.
You're talking about on the top of his head.
It's starting to thin a little. It's clumping together. I'm sure it's in his bathtub.
It still looks pretty, full.
Pretty full. It's pretty full.
No, I said it's starting.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks he's invincible.
No, but I mean, it might hit him when he's like 60.
He's already embarrassingly gray. like Steve Martin.
Jeez.
For his age, he's 36.
I'm saying for his age.
He's got silver hair. He's 36.
Yeah, for his age.
It's called genetics.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's stress.
Yeah.
Mine kicked in stress.
Drab's just mad because
he
doesn't use shampoo. What? Well, yeah, my dad's gray.
My dad,
yeah, and Bickles.
No, but when my dad got sick and he was like close to dying, my hair just turned white overnight. Yeah,
my brother's not gray though. Yeah, he's 40.
He's money. He's not stressed.
I got nothing to stress about.
I know, but I think you are.
But Drab does like to do that. Try and throw it in your face that you are balding.
You in the club.
But and also they. Drab has a fascination with toupees and hair plugs and surgery.
He's been dreaming about it.
Yes,
because
he wants to have a comeback.
Yeah,
that's Drab's ultimate goal is to have a comeback.
So the question is
don't call it a comeback
for the toupee queen. I've seen the pictures and the guys look great. Are these toupees like I said, where you wear it for like a year or something? Like how? Because she's gluing their heads.
You wear it for like. I think up to 6 months. You might
and
have
then
to,
you got
to
go back for a tweak.
An adjustment.
The toupee lasts like 6 months, but you have to go back like maybe once in between.
How much do they charge?
Sounds like around $2,000.
$2,000 for one 6-month run?
I guess.
Maybe it's like maybe it's like 2K a year.
So are you saying like if you're making out with some chick and you're closing a deal,
tell
her she's running her fingers through your hair, she can't tell?
No. It's real hair, pretty sure. Just been repurposed. Yeah. You can take a shower with it.
Why don't you do it? Would you do it for free?
I'm too famous. Like, people already know
Cakes
I'm...
Cakes is too famous.
He is. People already know I'm bald.
Weird.
Cakes will look so weird.
Totally
that's why
weird showing up with a full head of hair.
I know, that'd be funny, though.
Willing to do it
overnight
for money if I get paid.
I'm okay with a transplant. And Valdez loves to say hair plugs because he knows right. That's a Joan and like that's mm-hmm. outdated technology and he thinks it's funny.
Right.
He uses that dumb zing all the time.
Hair plugs. Plugs.
Yeah. They're not hair plugs. It's called a hair transplant.
Right. All right. I didn't know that was such a positive.
I didn't know a hair plug was so triggering.
It's constant dig.
Yeah.
From him.
Right.
But
a lot of rivalry between you two.
Very defensive.
I know. These two, they're always bickering. Yeah.
Well,
poor Mike Maher. He's like the little
Jason,
kid
you would
trapped
be,
in between
if
them.
Somebody was taking shots at your body all the time.
Well, I'm just saying, you guys are both always at it. Yeah. Now, maybe it's just an on-air thing, but it seems like you guys are always at it. On
I just like to needle him. Yeah. Like the needles they're going to use to put his hair plugs in.
Did it again.
Like that needle they're going to use to suck that fat out of your gut, Valdez.
Yeah, there you go.
See, it's back and forth.
See, Drabby got the face.
Can you guys just get along for the kid in there, please?
Is it ever uncomfortable for Mike?
No.
Because Mike stays out of it,
he
right?
He does, yeah.
Have you guys like attacked him yet?
He's next in line. He's already asking me today if he's losing his hair.
Oh, really?
Let me see.
Yeah. See
well, no, it's not that I'm losing hair. It's the hairline. It's
yeah,
the
hairline. It's like
I think it's just
Widow's
the place.
Peak bit?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just the place I went. He just screwed up my hairline.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking that.
He took a photo. He took a photo with me and Cakes at the movie premiere.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody say that he had a 45-degree angle on his haircut on his hairline.
Oh, it's a great zing. I couldn't even get upset about it.
I think he got butchered.
Solid.
I went to dinner right with all the parents. We went to a Mexican restaurant, and so it was after the game. Everyone had to shower, clean up, or whatever. And so I didn't wear a hat to dinner, and all the parents were like, "Oh my God, I've never seen you."
Like,
without...
who is this person?
They didn't, and they thought I was bald.
Right.
They didn't know. And I said, well, honestly, I wear a hat all the time because I'm embarrassed by the gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the moms were raving about the gray hair.
Oh, they were.
I'm telling you.
They couldn't stop talking
women
about it.
Get sized. They don't mind it. Guys are the ones that break your balls about grays. You guys have gotten in my head
the girls,
and made me uncomfortable.
Women don't care about the grays.
They don't.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. I think. I'm not saying they care about bald. I'm not sure. I don't know. I have no idea what
men
their stand
care about
is
women with grays.
Yes. I told my wife we have a double standard in this house. When those little single strands are going to pluck them or color them. That's what I told her. She's not very happy with me.
I'm sure she's not.
But I said we have a double standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We do. I'm not pulling a who's the guy from
women do not want grays.
Hold on. No, I know.
They're not fans.
No, but some don't care.
But some
because they can, they just want to be like
for some
all
quality
natural.
And stuff. Like, who's Keanu Reeves, his girlfriend or wife? All gray. Check it out.
Yeah.
She's like an outlier.
I told my wife, that's not happening in this pickle house. We have a double standard.
Well, weren't you sized because you said Asians don't go gray until they're like 70?
Typically, the ones I know, they don't go very gray. But, if you get a couple strands out, my antenna goes up.
you can sense them with the quickness.
I see it. We got to fix that.
Yeah.
But for me, perfectly acceptable.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Double standard.
Women rave about it, according to you.
They honestly do. They might. I'm not saying that they have negative feelings towards bald. I have no idea. They might like bald.
Of course they have negative feelings towards bald.
They might like
Definitely
it.
Definitely negative.
It could be the same thing. I don't know. It could be like guys just break your balls.
Have you ever seen a news anchor with a horseshoe haircut?
No.
No. Because you got to look like Ken.
But it is mostly guys breaking the balls.
But it could be the guys breaking the balls. Yeah. Like women might not care. Like women generally don't care that much as long as you're like a nice person. You got a little dough? Like, they don't really care.
Yeah, you got to be rich if you're bald.
They don't really care. I think, my guess is they probably don't care. It's guys.
The only guy I know of that just proudly rocks the horseshoe all the time, now he's insanely rich, is Steve Ballmer that owns the Clippers.
You have to own an
NBA team in order.
He owns it. Yeah. He fully owns it, but he's worth, I don't know, $100 billion.
But like most of these guys I see that, shave their heads, or if they're well-groomed, they look fine.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
fine. Probably gets cold in the winter. But
that's why I wear the beanie all the time.
I've got so many buddies who are bald.
Of course you do.
And they just
they don't care.
They got good looking wives.
Yeah, the wives don't care. I'm telling you. I think generally wives don't care about that stuff.
What are they going to divorce you? Because you lose your hair? Right.
Well, a lot of these guys are bald when they get married.
I was starting to thin when I got married.
Yeah,
25.
I think women are just better people. They just don't care.
Well,
like guys. Guys are just brutal, shallow, awful people.
Yep. Pretty much the case.
I used to they not care. You care. Guys got into my head.
They care. They care about different things.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't be a jerk.
You know, whether you can pay the mortgage or not, that's what they care about.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.